This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good Saturday morning. I don't get to say that much. I am Glenn the Geek from Lexington, Kentucky, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for March the 25th, episode 1660.
And I'm Tara Carter, coming to you live from the Kentucky Horse Park with day two of our 3 days of coverage of Road to the Horse. This episode is brought to you by Horseware, with hotel accommodations provided by Fairfield Inn North in Lexington, Kentucky. Good morning, Horse World.
Founded by Tootie Bland and her late husband, Stephen, Road to the Horse has grown beyond what they or anyone else involved in its humble beginnings could have ever dreamed. This unique competition brings together the world's top trainers and clinicians. They will gentle a horse in adjacent round pens, while thousands of fans relish every moment. Combining education and entertainment, Road to the Horse is truly a one-of-a-kind event.
Well, welcome to day two of our Road to the Horse coverage. All cowgirls this year, and we got to see them in the ring. We got to see them doing their thing yesterday in the first hour and a half of training they had in the round pens. And we're going to talk a little bit about that and give you kind of a wrap up of the coverage from day one here at Road to the Horse. As we said in the opener, we have 3 days of coverage coming to you. This is day two, and tomorrow will be 4 hours live covering the finals here, at the final competition and obstacle course. It's a lot of fun tomorrow here at Road to the Horse. And you can get our fun commentary here at Horses in the Morning at 11:30 a.m. on Sunday. And then, of course, I'm joined by Tara Carter this year, who was pen wrangler for her husband Trevor Carter a couple of years ago. She's an accomplished ranch horse trainer and rider. She works with her husband at Carter Ranch Horse, competing in ranch and rein cow horse training and working with dedicated students. Plus, she has the most adorable four-month-old daughter that's here.
Yes, I think she's pretty cute, too.
Yeah, she's adorable. And she seemed to have a lot of fun. She was pretty good all day.
She does. She's happy. She goes wherever. And
your mom is having a whole lot of fun being grandma.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, she is. Yeah, she's great. We do a lot of great things just because we have amazing support of our parents. So
I wanted to thank all of our listeners and auditors who came out last night. We had a little meetup in Midway at a restaurant called the Gray Goose, and they had a back room for us, and it was a lot of fun. We had maybe, 15, 16 people there.
Yeah, it was great.
And got to meet, and we have to give Maria a shout out because she came all the way from Sweden and flew in from this because she heard about it on Road to the Horse. And one of her best friends, apparently, she had heard about this show, Road to the Horse, a couple years ago. So she flew in and she met this girl from Texas. And they became good friends, and they were so emotional last night and thanked me, saying we're the reason that they became friends was meeting here at Road to the Horse. So that was kind of neat.
Yeah, that's right.
So it's the personal stories of how we can help people, and it's the things we never usually hear about being on the radio, and to get that kind of feedback in person is really cool.
Very rewarding.
Yeah, it was very fun. And then this morning I got an opportunity for a minute or two on the way in here to listen to yesterday's show. And wow, the sound quality was good. Jennifer, your hard work before the show paid off yesterday. Thank you very much. And you sounded terrific. You sounded like an old radio pro.
Oh, thanks. You helped help me feel comfortable and make it easy. So thank you.
Well, we have a lot of competition yet to go this weekend. The way this works is the trainers, all four of the cowgirls, had an opportunity yesterday to pick their horses out of Bermuda. They had 12 horses and they each picked one. So four of those 12 were picked. And then they got to work for an hour and 45 minutes in the ring. Or in a pet round pen, and they had to take a 15-minute break in there. So they really get about an hour and a half with the horses total on day one, and they'll have another hour and a half today, this afternoon, to work with the horses. No time in between. They don't get to see those horses in between time, right?
Right.
They're locked
in. They can look at them from a distance in the back pens.
Yeah.
No interaction.
Right. Yes. They can't go out there with their lunch line. You know, that's not allowed.
Yeah.
And then tomorrow they'll have what's called the finals, and that is an obstacle course competition they have to do. They have to do some flat work, some rail work, walk, trot, canter, pick up their feet, get on and off, which sounds easy, except for the horses only have 3 hours of training.
Right.
So that's the basic gist of what's going to happen here over the next couple of days. But we do want to review day one. And day one, first thing that happened was the pick of the horses. We talked a little bit about the names yesterday and who was picking what horses, and we picked our favorites. And our favorites, Tara's and mine, were both picked yesterday.
Yeah.
So tell us about your choice was picked by Sarah Dawson.
Yes. So Smart Hunt is the horse that she chose. He was number four. And Sarah's the only one that didn't go out in the, what they did is everybody kind of walked through the horses and, you know, tried to get a feel and a sense for them. And when it came Sarah's turn, she just said from the stage that she wanted number four.
Yeah, that was it.
She was sort of all, you know, down to business. So the horse that Sarah picked, it's called Smart Hunt. His sire is W.R. This Cat Smart, and his dam is Whiskey and Quail, which is a Paddy's Irish Whiskey horse. So, I kind of liked that horse. I liked his markings. He kind of a little pudgy kind of looking horse a little bit. So
yeah, he's a little chunky.
It made me think that he was going to...
Looks like he's well fed.
Yeah. That he's, you know, conservative and smart about what he does. But yes, he was pretty sensitive. And I just like the horses that are by that WR This Cat Smart. Seem really smart, really athletic. And Sarah said he had a lot of feel, so...
And we'll talk about the competitors here in a minute, because Jennifer got to watch from home from the English rider and trainer's point of view, and you're the Western side. So, and you've ridden English too. So it's going to be interesting to hear you guys talk about that. The horse I picked was a gray that just came up to me in the pen when we went out to see him. And I thought that was a lot of fun. So, and you think after 9 years in podcasting and radio, I learned to turn my ringer off on my phone. But apparently I'm a slow learner. So let me do that now. But I picked the gray horse. Tell us a little bit about the gray.
Well, the gray horse, I think he kind of fit what, well, for me, at least he fit what I thought he would be a little bit like. So he pretty confident. He was a little pushy. And that was one thing that Rochelle told us, you know, when she said, I want a horse that's a little bold, but maybe a little pushy. And she wanted to address that on day one and hope that it would help her in day three. At least that's kind of how she said. So I think she addressed some of it on day one, maybe not all of it. So we'll see as she goes today and then how that really plays out for her in the finals. But overall, I think a pretty straightforward horse.
Yeah, I still like the gray, by the way.
Yeah.
And at the end of this episode, we both have to pick a favorite, hands-on favorite
okay,
already, all
okay.
right? So then we have to do that. We'll see if our favorites at the beginning of tomorrow are still the same.
Yeah, I know.
That might change. Well, let's talk a little bit about that. Let's bring Jennifer, our producer, into the conversation as well. She watched from home on the feed that you can get here from Road to the Horse. If you go to roadtothehorse.com, you can still sign up for that. And so we have Vicki Wilson first that we're going to talk about. She's the English trainer who show jumper out of New Zealand. And, you know, she actually, her horse was pretty level-headed yesterday, I thought. Now, we do have to announce that Vicki, I don't want to spoil the end here, but that Vicki did take a little bit of a tumble yesterday, dislocated her shoulder.
Now, let's be clear here. She didn't get chucked off. She was sliding off the horse on purpose. She was getting off. And just as her arm was in exactly the wrong spot, he kind of threw his neck up and kind of braced a little bit when she slid off. And that's how that happened.
Yeah. And there went the shoulder.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And she hit the ground, but it was more from like pain and seeing stars.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Well, actually, we have a little bit of an audio that Tammy from Road to the Horse got last night with her. Do we have that ready, Jennifer? Can we play that quick?
Hi, Road to the Horse fans 2017. I am Vicki Wilson, and I'm incredibly excited to meet you all.
That's the wrong one.
I show jump to World Cup level.
That's the wrong one. Sorry about that, everybody. Okay. All right. Well, that's good. She just basically said, you know, she was seeing stars and it was hurting pretty bad. I know that they got her medical help last night, but I don't know the results. I don't know what's going to happen, whether she's going to be competing today. We're not sure. But what did you think overall? She was a completely different than we've seen before in Trainers That Rode to the Horse. She definitely brought a different spin to it.
I've seen a lot of guys start, and I say guys, and I should say that I see a lot of trainers.
Generically.
Generically. Start colts where they will hop on. So one of the things that Vicky did is she hopped on bareback. So she jumped up and down, you know, laid her belly across the horse's back, and then kind of laid her body long ways down the horse's back. And so I've seen a lot of trainers do that, and that's something that, you know, that Trevor does too. But what they do is it helps the horse get used to them being having a rider up there. So some of the others will use a saddle horse or get up on the fence, but she did that, you know, with bareback. And then she actually got astride the horse and, you know, tried to help him move forward, walking around, a little bit of trotting. And it's really great because that kind of keeps you this side of trouble. You know, you don't push a horse through something that you might be able to push them through if you're in a saddle. But so that's really great from that standpoint. But then there comes a point where you're going to have to help that horse a little bit more. And that's what Vicky ran into a little bit is when he needed a little more help, she wasn't. I mean, she did an amazing job.
Yeah.
But
he was getting sticky,
wasn't
he?
I have to jump off here to be able to help him more. And so.
Yeah.
He was getting sticky. He wasn't moving forward at that point.
Yeah, it was very interesting because for a lot of horses, that's when the stickiness happens. That's when their feet don't want to move is when they feel that girth. And then you say, yes, you need to move, and then they have their little bucking fit. So I was rather curious to see how that would work because I thought, well, she's going to hop up on his back and he's going to be more likely to move freely because he's not going to feel that restriction around his rib cage. And maybe she can avoid that. He can learn to move forward with weight on his back. And then when she does get the saddle on, he's going to go, oh, weight on my back, I can move. And to just, she sort of, she didn't mix the wet ingredients and the dry ingredients together and then combine the two. She kind of added a little ingredient here and ingredient there. So she changed up the order of things to see if, and I was curious to see if it would work. Now her horse being uber shy and not prone to trying things on his own, I think have maybe got her in a little bit of trouble there. And that once she did get all the way on him, he's going, oh, I don't think I want to try. So it's going to be an interesting day for her to see if she finished on a sufficiently confident note from his point of view that he wants to try hard after he's had the night to digest what he just did.
What I think about that for Vicky is where they got into their spot is he was okay with her being up there on his back. He wasn't okay with direction. Like he wasn't okay with her guiding him.
Yeah.
And that's the same as what he had on the ground. He was okay with things, but he wasn't okay with her saying, right foot here.
Yeah.
And that's what they ran into the saddle to.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to continue with our conversations about how it went yesterday with the other three ladies who are the other three trainers who are in the ring. But we have some guests here, and Tara can introduce them.
So I want to introduce you guys to Phil Fox and Jesse Wade from the 4-6s. Jesse is one of the cowgirls there at the 4-6s and ran the horses into the arena yesterday like I have never seen before. It was awesome. It made me want to be horseback and go gather something somewhere. So, and then we've got Phil Fox here, and you guys can tell us a little bit about yourselves and what you do at the ranch, and then we'd love to ask you some questions about the horses.
Hello. I kind of get to check on all the horses in the mare barn in the mornings and help with treatments and work directly with Dr. Blodgett and our other vet that works there, Dr. Kennedy. And then I get the privilege of going out with Phil if we need to move horses or gather mares for palpations and sort out mares to palpate. So I get to do a little bit of everything, and it's awesome. Just living the dream.
So how far do you have to ride to gather the mares and bring them in?
Well, sometimes it can be, we have a pasture, Little River, that's a little bit farther. Phil can tell you more about the layout of the pastures. I usually just go where he tells me to, but sometimes it can be pretty far. But it's still fun.
For everybody that lives in New England on a 2-acre farm, when she says pretty far, she's talking in terms of miles, not acres at that point.
So how far do you have a ride, Phil?
Well, I mean, we're caught up like right now in the breeding process. It's not too far, but Jessie, she aligns us. We have a lot of vaccinating that we do on pregnant mares when they come close to foaling, and that involves going out. You know, we got pastures farther away from the clinic that you know, we had to gather and you know, she has a big vaccinating schedule that she has to go by, but and then when we move them, that's involved. And you know, that I mainly help take care of the ranch mares that are away from the clinic, tend to them, watch them, especially in foaling time. And then our young stuff, our yearlings, that's pretty big where they're at. Tending them each day, just watching over them, you know, to take care of stuff that are wounded or anything like that.
So how many yearlings do y'all have, or will y'all foal this year? I mean, I'm sorry, that totally came out way wrong. How many how many will y'all foal this year?
You know, it's roughly about 70 ranch mares. It's hard to tell on the recipients that we had to foal out, because there's always a lot of that involved. Jesse has to really take care of and watch over the stuff that stays up in the yard that are race bred.
70 mamas, huh? Yeah.
It's down from, we've used to have a lot more than that. It's down a little bit, but keep you busy through the year.
That's great. So we wanted to ask you guys a little bit about the horses that the participants selected. And so I wanted to see what you guys thought about. We were just talking about Vicky Wilson. So what do you guys think is going to be the strengths and weaknesses of choosing that horse?
You know what? I've just seen siblings got a full brother to that horse, and they seem to be really level-headed. Easy going. I really think that girl's really talented. She'll just need a little time to kind of get him moving forward and doing things that I know she's wanting to do. I think she can do it.
The one horse that everybody was surprised was Kate, the horse Kate picked. Everybody was just kind of surprised on that horse that Kate Newbert picked. Were you guys surprised? Was that one that...
I think that horse, even though he's got the racing blood in him, he's got a lot of eye appeal. And when you watch him move, I think she just felt something with that horse. I like him. I think she's going to do good with him. I think that they're just surprised because of the racing blood. But that horse, I think, will move out good for her.
And it was funny because he didn't have the, you know, he was acting up a little bit yesterday. She was having a little bit of a tough time getting him going. But when she got the saddle on, the other horses were full out. I mean, were putting on some bucking shows. That horse was so funny because he was more like a kangaroo, just going straight up in the air with it. And he knew he had to buck, but he wasn't quite sure he really wanted to, or, you know, I was like, oh, okay, that's going to require effort, so I'll just do this. It was... The gray is my favorite. Tell us a little bit about the gray, and that one's being trained by Rochelle Valentine.
The gray horse, of course, being a full sib to the last year's winner. You know, you go on a lot of those full sibs, like it's going to be the same way. They're not. Watching them in the times past, they got their own identity. It'll be interesting to see how she gets him a rolling out there outside. But I think she'll, you know, he's easy adaptable to things. So I think it'll go good.
And so, and that horse could buck. That horse did know how to buck.
Yeah. Well, it's good those things get that out that first day.
Yeah.
And what about Sarah's horse, Smart Hunt? What do you think about him?
Well, like Sarah said, that horse has got a lot of feel, but, I think that horse is going to be, or was, a tough horse. And I think she did a really good job of getting that horse broke down and asking him to do what she wanted him to do. I think that horse will really fit her program, and that's probably why she picked him. But I think she's going to do good on him. But that is a nice horse, but I think it is a tough horse for this competition.
Before we let you guys go, I just wanted to ask you a little bit about the 4/6s. What's the main operation of the 4/6s? What, you know, what, as far as the business is concerned, what basically do you guys do?
Well, we, of course, you got the cow part of it, and then the horse and horse breeding part of it. Me and Jesse, we're mainly involved with the breeding and the, you know, being around the mares and all the young stuff. So we tend to that. And then our breeding process lasts from February to June. It's all involved every day, going through and cycling mares and breeding mares. So we stay hooked up with that.
And the cattle is the biggest, what, is that the biggest financial operation on the farm, the cattle?
You know, it probably is, but I think you got maybe a balance of it, really, between the horse breeding and the cows. The cows is a big part of it.
Yeah. Well, thank you guys for stopping by. And are you allowed to visit the 4-6s? Can people visit?
You bet. Anytime.
And where in Texas?
At Guthrie. You know, we're just straight east of Lubbock, about 90 miles.
You guys even have a gift shop, I think I heard, didn't I?
Yeah, kind of. It's called the Supply House.
Okay. Great. I want one of those cool shirts. I got to pick me up one of those. All right. Thanks, guys. Appreciate you stopping by.
Thank you.
Well, let's take a break here real quick for one of our sponsors, Sports Vibe, and then we're going to come back and we're going to continue our analysis of the trainers the first day and how they made out. We'll talk about Rochelle Valentine next.
Designed and created by the team who brought you Ice Vibe, Sports Vibe ZX is the most comfortable, lightweight, and portable massage therapy rug for horses. Ideal as a warm-up or recovery rug, it helps to warm up muscles before work and ease soreness and stiffness afterward, and is ideal for maintaining muscular well-being throughout the year. Sports Vibe ZX is the first of its kind, incorporating complete wireless technology into the most lightweight, comfortable, and portable massage therapy rug available on the market. There are absolutely no wires to mess with because each massage panel has its own built-in battery that is controlled by the convenient wireless remote. The panels are easily inserted into the pockets on the outside of the rug, so you don't need to take the rug off your horse in order to change the panel placement. With 13 placement pockets, you can target all areas of the body. Now, with 3 frequency settings, choose from either a more gentle setting to a moderate setting, or one that offers a mix of both gentle and moderate massage. This gives you total freedom to choose which level of massage is right for your horse. The rug material is a lightweight and breathable mesh material, keeping your horse comfortable while being treated without overheating. Sports Vibe ZX's gentle, non-invasive massage technology will not overwork your horse's muscles, allowing them to feel their best. You can learn more about Sports Vibe by visiting sportsvibe.com. That's sports with a Z, sportsvibe.com.
And we appreciate Sports Vibe being a sponsor for today's show. Let's go next to Rochelle Valentine. Who is out of Florida. She's a trainer with Sean Patrick, and she was one of my favorites going in, I have to be honest, because I kind of know Rochelle a little bit through Sean, and she's so sweet. She's so sweet. But and she's a heck of a trainer. She let's have Tammy stop in here quick. Yeah. But before we talk about Rochelle Valentine, we have to talk to one of our favorites. Host of the Western radio show for many years and really the right-hand person that makes this whole operation run at Road to the Horse, Tammy Serrance.
Hey, Glenn, how are y'all?
Good. It's good to have you stop by. We cannot come here without you saying hi to the microphone.
Yeah, but y'all got the best seat in the house here.
We do. We have a great seat. We're in the glass booth, and we really do have the best seats in the house. Tammy, how's it going? You're helping run this whole operation, and, you know, every operation like this has a million moving parts.
It does. And, you know, the funny thing is there's so much here that you don't see that we do. I mean, the Jumbotron schedules and the social media and the coordination. And sometimes it's a little bit like Chinese whispers. You know, when you tell one person one thing, and by the time it gets where it's supposed to go, it's a little different.
And I've seen the schedules that you put together. It is so detailed for 4 days of operation.
It is. And I was sitting here the other day and I was kind of tired in the morning and I said to myself, what can I do to make this easier on myself? You know, and there's really nothing.
Yeah. And then poor Tammy, like literally everybody comes to Tammy for everything here. And her phone dies.
With a smile.
Yeah, and her phone dies the first day. She loses all her contacts.
My phone crashes. I lost every contact.
She lost everything.
I lost every social media app. And you know, you don't know all your passwords until you really need them. And then you're like, oh, what was my Google password? What was my... I could not believe it. So I went, I dropped my phone with my assistants and I said, this is my social security number. This is my birthday. Fix it. Here's Verizon number. Pretend you're me. It's easier, you know? So I go to my meeting and I come back and she hands me my phone and she's like, hey, what's your Google password? I said, did you seriously just wipe my entire phone? Well, yeah, but I didn't have a choice. I mean, I was not prepared for that. So anyway, yeah, I'm really glad I moved all my photos and everything off my phone to have room for here. So anyway, yeah. So just like, you know, let's just roll on.
And that's what happens at the start of every event.
Can you believe that? I mean, the one day of the year my phone commits suicide is here. It was probably like,
it didn't want to come here again insane. This year. After last year, it was like, I'm not coming back that place.
What's this?
Yeah. Forget smoke it. Coming out of it.
Do we have any word yet on
no,
Vicky
Wilson? No, everyone is
asking.
She was good when she interviewed last night. She was a little uncomfortable, but the good thing is we have a phenomenal, I don't know the name. What's those really cool sports physio people, Glenn, that do sports medicine on athletes?
Yeah, yeah.
Whatever that is, we have one.
Yeah.
Who's
a physical
amazing.
Therapist, a sports therapist. Yeah.
A guru, a fix it guru. Yeah. A human vet.
I thought she could just do it herself. She was the first one to ever do chiropractic on a horse during a first round of Road to the Horse.
Yeah. Well, I've never seen a 6 Colton Ramping getting an adjustment, but.
No. And you know what? It worked. That horse, yes. As soon as she yes. did the adjustment, he just got happier.
Yes.
It was weird.
Yes. I love her. You know, and she does remind me a little bit like of Nick Dowers. I know they're so different. But I remember Nick Dow's clinic last year, and Nick was always kind of wanting to make the horse really happy. What does this horse need for me to enjoy his job? And that's the same thing I hear from Vicky Wilson, and I love that.
Yeah.
I mean, what does my horse need for me to be his best? And really, that's what Road to the Horse is all about. So I've really, really enjoyed working with them.
Good. Well, Tammy, thank you so much for, one, giving us a neat place to hang out there for 3 days. We appreciate that. And it's always fun to see the Horse Radio Network banners and us showing up on the Jumbotron. We like that, too.
It's more fun for me when I walk on the other side and I see y'all's little logo at the window and your little head and microphone. I'm going to take y'all a picture.
Does it bring back memories, Tammy?
It does.
Well, keep everyone informed, and we're so glad to have you here.
All right. Thanks, Tammy.
Thanks,
Tammy Serrance from Road to the Horse. I don't even know what her title is now. Big Boss or something. I don't know. I don't know if she has a title. Yeah. Anymore. Are we ready?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, then seeing that our next guest is going to be coming in, we'll switch the order of who we talk about and we'll go to Sarah Dawson next. Of course, Sarah Dawson is Richard Winter's daughter. Richard Winter has competed here and Sarah is the only one that has competed at Road to the Horse before as well. And we're just about to start talking about her yesterday and do a review. And you know what? We might as well have a guest with us, Cheryl Winter, Sarah's mom. Come on in, Cheryl. Sit right close to the mic. Been about an inch.
Here I am.
There you go. So now we're about to talk about it. What do you think? What were your thoughts on your daughter's first round?
You know, I thought she did a masterful job with her colt. I especially enjoyed watching her work the colt off the back of another horse. I had not seen her do that before. And the timing was impeccable. It was awesome.
She's an interesting study here, too. One, she has been here before and competed before.
Correct.
She's obviously helped her dad a couple times.
Yes.
And she's an English and a Western rider. She's a 3-day eventer and a Western rider, which we don't see too often.
Correct.
That combination together. And I think it shows a little bit in the way she handles the horses, too, that she has a really overall experience.
Well, it's good that shows.
I'd be sad if it didn't. Yeah.
I just want to say a little bit about what Cheryl had said is that you could kind of tell with Sarah's horse that it really could go one way, like, it could go bad.
Could go south
if
quick.
If Sarah didn't have the feel that she felt in that horse, and she really managed it. I didn't expect her to get the chains that she got as quickly as she did.
Yes.
And so I was really impressed at the way that horse softened really within a couple of minutes of her getting horseback and working him. And then she moved on and you can see it.
You know, even when she first went into the pen, I didn't expect her to be able to get up to that horse as quickly as she did. That was impressive.
I agree.
It is interesting to see, for somebody who hasn't watched a competition like this before, we talk about light bulb moments. People have light bulb moments and horses have light bulb moments. And you truly see that through every round of this competition, through all the training. You see the light bulb moments for each horse. Some are more distinct than others, and you go, wow. That, and the audience reacts to those light bulb moments, too. Yes. And it, so it is fun to see that from a spectator's point of view. As a mom, are you looking for those light bulb moments as well?
You know, it's kind of interesting because I watch Sarah and what she's doing probably more even than when I'm watching the horse, because I see what's happening and it's, I see maybe something's not coming together like she's wanting it to, because I know my daughter. So it's interesting to see how quickly she's able to move on to another plan. And that's what I observed yesterday, was her being able to say, this is not working correct. Let's get something else going. And especially when Dad had to run out and get that horse the second time, she was really needing that horse to help her at that point.
Yeah, they had a comical joke. The horse kind of bucked quite a bit, and Richard was running out the arena to grab, and they were like, okay, Richard, you do have to come back. But he went to grab a horse and for Sarah to work the horse. So did you feel like, what kind of changes do you expect to see in that horse today?
I'll tell you the changes that Sarah wants to see in the horse today, and that is, she never really felt that that horse was comfortable at all with those tarps and going over the obstacles. I noticed that the horse, even the white pole that she had when she first put it down, it wanted nothing to do with it. But by the time she was through, it was very comfortably going over the white pole, but the tarps never, ever was able to step over them. So it'll be interesting to me to see. I almost am hoping she will just open those things wide up and have that horse just work through that, rather than going slowly and unfolding it in a slow manner. Like, just put it out there. What she will do, I don't know.
And that's kind of what Rochelle Valentine did yesterday. Yes. She put the tarp. I mean, the horse had no choice. If he's right. going to go around, he's going over the tarp.
Exactly. And I think this horse, if it has a choice, it's going to go around every time.
Yeah. Isn't it interesting, too, how some horses look at that as a kind of an adventure? They're kind of comical about the obstacles that are brought into the round pen,
yes.
the training obstacles, and some just, oh, I'm not going anywhere.
Yeah, that's her concern, is my horse does not want anything to do with the obstacles. And with that being the main part of this event, there's a little issue there.
Yeah.
Is there extra pressure on Sarah because of Richard?
No, not at all.
Okay.
She is her own lady. No, not at all.
Yeah. And Richard, is he good? You know, does he offer advice at these things, like during? Is he kibitzing?
I think what you would see is Richard is not offering advice. He's just cueing off of Sarah and is there for her. Whatever she's wanting, he's right there to help her with that.
I love that about those two, that father-daughter combination, because there's so much respect both ways.
Yes.
And you don't always see that with a father-daughter combination.
Yes.
But he truly is a master at that. And we've all seen that work. And it's what makes Sarah so independent and so good.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And independent, that's the word. Yeah. She is independent.
Oh, well, I think I have always said that those two would be good. We talked about this yesterday. I always said that those two would be good hosts of their own show on the Horse Radio Network, because she doesn't take his crap.
No.
So it would make a good combination.
No, she doesn't take anybody's crap.
Yeah, anybody. I was going to say anybody.
Her husband's either, from what I hear.
No, she has a good, quick way of putting mom in her place, too.
Did that start when she was about 11?
No, because, you know, it's not in an ugly way. But
right.
I'll ask a question, or maybe I'll make a little negative statement, and she'll just look at me and say, Mom, that's not necessary. And so I appreciate that. You know, my husband, he'll just let me rant. Sarah, she doesn't put up with it.
Yeah. It's funny how kids are the equalizers,
That's
aren't they?
Right. That's right.
Well, I'm very excited for her. She, you know, we were sitting here when we were watching yesterday. It was interesting because she was in our minds. She was so up front at the beginning of the hour and 45 minutes. We were really focusing on her. And then just like her dad in all of these competitions, mm-hmm. they are just kind of steady eddies,
yes.
and they just keep working, and they're
yes.
steady eddies. And then your focus, your mind kind of goes off of them to everybody else. And then later on, we said, you know, Sarah's kind of just flying under the radar right now. Yes. She's just out there working, yes, and all the action, all the bucking and carrying on is going on in the other pens, and Sarah's just out there working, and I realized I hadn't looked at her for 20 minutes, and that's a good thing. And
as long as that's not the judge.
Oh, yeah. That's true. By the way, do we know what the score, who was winning?
So Sarah is sitting in third right now.
Right.
That's 317.
Correct. Okay, do we know what the order was? I don't even see that this morning.
356 was Kate Newbert, 346 was Vicki Wilson, then Sarah, 317, and I believe 306 was Rochelle.
Rochelle, yeah.
So she's sitting in third, but she's feeling confident going into it today.
Those points really, I mean, they matter, but until the final day, if you don't finish and if you're, everything goes different tomorrow.
Right. She's got a lot going on. She really accomplished a lot with her horse yesterday.
Well, we're excited.
Flying under the radar with that horse is an accomplishment, like what you said. Yes.
Yeah, people flying under the radar win. So
never let them see you coming.
Yeah, that's right. Well, thank you so much for joining us. What's the website for your operation?
It's www.wintersranch.com.
Wintersranch.com. Thank you, Sarah.
Thank you so
much.
Good
to talk to you.
Have a wonderful day.
Thank you.
I didn't realize till this morning, and I don't know, Jennifer, if you saw this, but this morning when I was watching the videos that they did yesterday, and I saw Sarah on that video, and she looks so, all her mannerisms, I never noticed this before, she's so much like her dad. All her mannerisms, the way she talks, her cadence, everything was like her dad. It was just, it just struck me. So Jennifer, from the English riders and trainers point of view with Sarah?
Oh, let's see here. Again, I think I kind of agree with you. Flying under the radar. Now, at first I thought, oh, she might be in mischief. Because at first that horse seemed to have a lot of extra energy going. Because that can go bad. You know, if you have that horse that wants to move his feet, you have to let him move his feet. But it's easy to fall into that trap. Maybe not for Sarah Winters, but for the rest of us who aren't professional horse trainers. It's easy to fall into the trap of telling him that moving your feet is exactly what I want accidentally. Getting him to move his feet too much. There's that balance point of allow him to move his feet, get that out of his system, but then communicating at just the right moment in just the right way that, okay, now that's over. You need to come and be my partner. And I thought, is that going to work? And of course it did. It worked out fine, but at first I was chewing my fingernails a little bit. The horses that have that extra energy make my chew my nails a little bit.
I think it's easy to look at, you know, you sort of can look at the sequence of events like, okay, the checklist is I got to get the horse to do A, B, C, D. I got to get him go over the tarp. I got to get him going over the poles. I got to get him to wear the saddle. And you can sort of, you know, go through the checklist as far as the time management goes. But exactly what you're talking about, if she got him moving his feet because he needs to go over the tarp and the poles, like Cheryl was talking about, too, and she didn't get the connection or the softness from that horse, it was just going to be a fight the whole time, and it was going to get harder and harder as the day went on.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm really anxious to see how she does today, because she took care of that in the beginning and then flew under the radar and did some of those things. So like what Cheryl said, she's probably going to have to and not pop the bubble, but she's going to have to scratch a little deeper under the surface today. But hopefully what she established with that horse yesterday is going to make it. It might look a little messy, but it might actually go somewhere. Have, you know, more longer sustained results.
Do you think because she concentrated and focused and got accomplished the connection part? Do you think now that the horse has had his overnight to absorb that connection part, if that is good and solid, that's going to put her at an advantage when it comes to creating obstacle work because the connection will be stronger. So maybe that's going to be an advantage for her this morning. We'll see.
I think it's still going to be exciting. I think we're still going to see some excitement.
Well,
it's
an awfully athletic horse and he's expressive. So
I think it's going to get better, not worse because of what she did.
Yes.
Well,
I agree.
Well, we have to take a break for our next sponsor, Cashel Products. But I wanted to say that the next one we're going to talk about is Rochelle Valentine, and she is in the ring right now doing a demonstration. You could probably hear the music a little bit. She's riding in a Western saddle with no bridle, no reins, and doing a reining pattern pretty much. I'm just going to say this before we go to the commercial. Rochelle has one of the best seats of any of the trainers I've seen out here. She is just a quiet, nice rider. She really is. We'll talk about her right after this word from Cashel. We would like to thank the Cashel Company for returning this year to support our coverage of Road to the Horse. Cashel Crusader is the number one selling fly protection line in the country, and for good reason. Fly masks, sheets, leg guards, they all provide the ultimate in protection from insects, and they reduce dependence on pesticides, promoting healthier horses. Long nose fly masks provide up to 70% UV protection, keeping noses free from sunburn, and the Quiet Ride fly mask provides protection on the trail without inhibiting movement. Plus, they have a special program with the Wounded Warrior Crusader mask. A portion of the proceeds from all these blue-trimmed fly masks will be donated to the Wounded Warrior Project. Cashel hopes in some small way they can impact the lives of those who sacrifice so much for us all. You can find the Cashel products at your local tack shop or online at CashelCompany.com. That's CashelCompany.com. So, Rochelle Valentine, we're here at Road to the Horse, and there's some demonstrations coming on. There's some demonstrations coming on right now, going on right now, and one of the competitors this weekend, Rochelle Valentine, is out there. She is a trainer out of Florida, works with Sean Patrick, and she is riding a reining pattern with there's no bridle, right?
No bridle.
Yeah, no bridleless, and she's in a saddle, but she's doing great. She's doing the spins and everything. She's doing a great job. She's a good rider. How was she? She had my gray horse, the one I picked, and. You know, what an interesting horse.
Yeah. I think he's kind of fit what we thought he would be so far. And I'll just jump in. I think she's done a good job with him as far as if you just look at the results. You know, yesterday at the end of her session compared to the others, Rochelle was saddled and on and moving around the round pin. Sean was in the round pin flagging her around on him. So she got a walk, trot, lope out of that horse. But the score doesn't reflect that. The score doesn't reflect that she was doing those things. And she got him over the tarp and she got him standing on the bridge. So if you look at the physical things that horse was doing, you'd be like, wow. But some of the things.
But she dropped her reins and it got wrapped around his legs. And I heard they got lots of points taken off for that.
She got in a couple mishaps. The horse started bucking and went toward the fence. And
that was the most exciting point of the day.
She was going to bail. Like you could see she went, oh, fence, I think I'll use that to my advantage. And then he stopped bucking. And so she just got back on.
It was dramatic. Yeah. It was dramatic.
So it was great. So
she almost went over the rail.
Yeah. The fact that that happened and then the rein mishap. Really, I think she got a lot done with that horse because of that horse. I think she kind of blew through some stuff, but that horse was able to take it. So I think that's why we see the low score for Sarah.
And what
for
a tank that gray horse is.
He is a tank. I didn't recognize it until he was by himself.
Big horse. Jennifer, what do you think of Rochelle?
I think we need to do a genetics test on that horse and check for a Percheron teaser.
I know.
Oh,
he's got a big butt.
Gosh.
He's got everything.
He's giant. See, unfortunately for me, when the highlight of the day for everyone, I'm sure, the bucking episode happened, they had the split screen on the live feed, and I was completely and utterly focused on Vicky's pen. So I missed it, basically. So I'm glad I got the play-by-play from you, Tara.
Good.
I never thought of it that way, but you're right, because the horse was very adaptive and very receptive. And she was, I think that's an accurate, I agree with that. Kind of blew through some stuff that's like, maybe. But yet the horse tracked her really, really well. But is that because she created a really great connection? Or is it partly because he is such, is he going to be cowie? He just wants to track things. That'll be interesting.
I think he's kind of an engaged type horse. I think he's probably got a lot of try, which is why you see him, he had a hard time with the saddle, but. Yet he tried anyway. He had a hard time, and I mean, she was hanging off the side of him.
I know.
That would have sent some other horses who were already bucking, and then they would be scared about this person dangling on the side.
Yeah,
and
that didn't freak him out at all when she came. When she came partway off, my heart was in my throat. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, she was on his neck.
Yeah,
and he just stood.
And a big neck, so there's a lot to hang on to.
Like, okay, you just get back on, honey, and then we'll continue.
I think that horse has a lot of try. I think that's kind of what I would attribute
attribute to all of that.
Yeah. As she's showing in the demonstration she's doing in front of us right now, she has a good seat. So that's why she was able to stay on.
She is a beautiful rider. I love to watch her on a horse. Yeah.
Now, I did check, and her jeans have Velcro on the butt. So there was that, too.
That's
what those
sparkles are for, I've decided. They're like, is there actually Velcro? The seat and then make it really kind of rough out.
All right, let's real quick do the last one, and then we're going to take a break. And we have Nick Dowers coming on to join us, and he's going to talk to us a little bit about his thoughts on the whole day and the training techniques that they used. But we need to cover the last one, who was Kate Newbert, who really, I think, had the most challenging horse of the day.
I think she had one of the most challenging horses, and I think she did one of the best jobs of breaking it down.
The score shows that.
Yes,
yeah.
Horse, and maybe not so much the most challenging, because I think Sarah's horse is kind of right up there with it, like what Cheryl was saying, but that horse had the potential to really, could possibly kind of really blow up, kind of freeze and then blow up. And so what
that
Sarah
could have turned into a fight.
It really could have. And she, you know, she took care to not get in a fight on his head. You know, she really got down to his feet and got him thinking, okay, I can follow you. And then she broke it down even further with some different ropes, and he didn't react. Like, I thought he might really get tight and explode when she put the rope around his neck. She kind of put the rope around his body as he moved around. He really only kicked out at it. You could see him think through what she was asking him to do with the rope. So I think that's because of what she did up to it. Then she put a surcingle on, and the horse got tight with the surcingle, but he had said yes so much to the other things she had asked him that he was able to answer through it. And then it just kind of, he still had reactions, but I don't think they were as big as they could have been because she helped him so much. That's what I think.
And she ended up ground driving him, which was interesting because we do that a lot with the horses that we get in that we're breaking, is we ground drive them for a long time before we ever get on them. And you want to get that steering down. You want to get all the fundamentals down with the ground driving. Now, that's usually done. The interesting comment we had about that is that's usually done when you have months to train a horse, not when you have an hour and a half.
Yeah.
And what Kate said is she said, I had to think about if he gets this tight or in this situation when I'm on his back, what are the things I'm going to have to do on his back to help him? And she went, I can establish that now on the ground. So
and,
I think
and
that's
turning is
saw
one
that.
Of those things. Mm-hmm. Yeah. She thought, I can see why she's leading right after that.
She is.
Yeah. And everybody here was surprised at that. But she really did. What she did was thoughtful. She could have ended up in a battle with that horse that she would have lost. And the other thing about Kate is the poor thing's about 98 pounds soaking wet. She's really petite. And she really did a good job of thinking through the whole thing.
I think as far as overall viewing, Kate really broke it down for a horse. Vicky really broke it down for a horse. Sarah made sure to get the right connection. And Rochelle, you know, did a good job progressing with a horse that was able to progress.
She was speed reading.
Well, let's do this. Let's take a break. We're going to be back here with Nick Dowers, who he's won a couple of times, right? Nick.
He's kind of a big deal.
Yeah, he's kind of,
you know, I think he won this last year.
Yeah,
he's won
you
the Snaffle Bit Futurity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's kind of really a champion all around and the reigning champion at Road to the Horse.
That's right.
So we're going to be back with him in just a second, right after we hear from Templeton Thompson and Cavallo.
She could have passed for a cowboy the way she carried herself, and that 50 pounds of leather put it up on that pony. Light as a feather, like she'd done it all her life. And she asked if I was ready, handing me the reins. And we started out walking. Up until that morning, she hadn't been much on talking. Guess it finally come a time. And she said, I've learned more from the back of a horse than most folks ever get to know. You never really know what you're made of till you ride out on your own. Ooh, baby, don't worry, I know you're gonna be just fine. And ooh, now don't be in a hurry, you feel it when you hit your stride. So don't get right, sit deep in the saddle, remember to hold on tight, and never ride faster than your guardian. it'll be her turn to fly. And I'll say, I've learned more from the back of a horse than most folks ever get to know. You never really know what you're made of till you're right out on your own. Ooh, baby, don't worry, I know you're gonna be just fine. And ooh, now don't be in a hurry, you feel it when you hit your stride. So don't get rattled, sit deep in the saddle. Remember to hold on tight and never ride faster than your guardian angel can fly. And baby, don't worry, I know you're gonna be just fine. Remember to hold on tight and never ride faster than your guardian angel can fly. Don't you ever ride faster than your guardian angel can fly.
Cavallo hoof boots are easy to get on and stay on in all types of terrain and activities. Unique drainage slots allows water to drain out quickly, and they are super easy to take off too. With Cavallos, you spend your time on the trail with your best friend, not wasting time putting on complicated hoof boots. You get confidence and security with their Best Boot Ironclad Warranty. Cavallo hoof boots take you where you want to go.
Cavallo boots are the ones that my wife and I use on our horses every day. They are simple enough, even for this horse husband. We have never had an issue with them coming off. There's no breakable parts, gadgets, or cables. I can't recommend these highly enough. Visit their website at cavallo-inc.com. That's cavallo-inc.com. Or if you're here at Road to the Horse, get yours at Valley Vet, booth 208. That's Valley Vet, booth 208.
Okay, we're back, and we have Nick Dowers joining us here in the press booth. And so we've asked him to share a little bit about what he saw yesterday as far as the trainers and their techniques and their approach. And we'd love to get his insight and maybe what he thinks we might see today.
Well, good morning, everybody. Just to start off, I was really impressed with all the girls, how they came out, and you could tell that they put a lot of effort into formulating kind of a game plan. That doesn't mean it was a bad thing. Sometimes you can have too much of a game plan and then try to force the horse through a mold. I could tell that they had a plan, but they didn't force the horse to that plan. But you could tell that they put a lot of thought into what they were doing. And I thought that was really cool. Really cool. Seems like a lot of times us guys just kind of, we're going to wing it. And the girls definitely had a plan. I really enjoyed that part.
That's why they do the books in our businesses, by the way, Nick.
Yeah.
Yeah. That winging it thing, the IRS doesn't like that a whole lot.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
You had came out and you said that it seemed really smooth. And I thought the same thing, too, mm-hmm. because everyone, they were pretty focused. And I think all of them really focused on getting sort of kind of a connection with their horse before moving on. And I don't know if that was why you thought smooth, but I agreed with you when you said smooth.
Yeah, for sure. And that's what I mean. Like, they come out, they kind of had their plan. And, so often, guys, we're bigger, we're stronger, and we can kind of bully our way through some things, whether we want to admit it or not. And, you know, these ladies, they can't do that. And so they had to outsmart them and use horsemanship and things like that. And I think that's great. I know personally after watching that, it's like, yeah, you know, they're doing, I thought they did a really good job.
Yep. If we're to break down technique, now we got to see Rochelle Vallant, or we got to see Vicki Wilson with a little different approach coming from the English side and the jumper side, and also having trained wild horses in Australia, New Zealand, and Mustangs. What do you think about her approach and her technique?
I thought it was great because it was something that I've seen very much? No, but you could tell that she was very, very confident in what she did. And you could see that relayed to the horse. And just because it was different, I had no problem with it because the results spoke for themselves.
Interesting you used the word confident, because when we were watching it from up here yesterday, I said to Tara, I said, look at the, I said confident. She is the most confident person out there. She's just in there owning, and not in a bad way, not in an aggressive way, just her demeanor was, I'm here, I'm doing a job. And this horse is cooperating, and we're going to develop a. It just was so confident. You're right. That's the best word.
Yeah, I think so often you get in there, especially in a competition setting, and you think, well, what would my mentor say right now? What would they be doing? What would they, you know? And you just get to thinking all these things, except for thinking about you and your talents and what you got you there. And I think she did a really good job. She didn't try to be anybody. In the States, she didn't try to be any past winner. She was Vicki, and it come across as really good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're hoping her shoulder holds out and she can show up today.
I know. I feel so bad for her.
I know. That's a tough one. So if we go next door to Sarah Dawson, we had her mom, Cheryl, in here just a little bit ago. What did you think about her? And we talked a little bit about the kind of horse she had, too.
Yeah, I think she picked a challenging horse. I mean, to be frank, I didn't see that pick coming. I can see why she picked it, but she had a challenging horse, a lot of forward. What I thought about Sarah, her biggest thing, or my biggest takeaway from watching her, is she did a lot of work yesterday getting ready for today. So I think we're going to really see the benefit of what she did yesterday today. Her and then Rochelle as well. I thought of the girls, those two girls did, in my estimation, they prepared their horses the best to build off of what they did yesterday for today.
And Rochelle got the award for the most exciting moment yesterday. We were just talking about that.
Yeah. Yeah. That was unfortunate. You know, she had everything rolling and she was just killing it in my opinion. And then to have something unfortunate, and it wasn't even, like I told her, I said, it wasn't your fault. It wasn't anybody's fault. It's just something that happened.
Do you think Tootie, I have a question because you've competed here before. Does Tootie pay you to have one of those moments to make it exciting for the crowd every year?
No. She couldn't. She wouldn't be able to pay me enough. I know that.
I was going
to
say, I don't think anybody would take the money. Like, yeah. No.
Thanks. Yeah. Exactly.
It's funny. You know, people go to NASCAR to watch the wrecks, right? I mean, if we're being honest, right? And yeah. We don't want to see that here. That's not what we want to see. But she rode it. That was the cool part.
Oh, yeah.
She really rode
it.
Yeah.
No, there's no quitting that girl.
Yeah. And she has a great seat. We're watching her do her thing right now out here. She really does have a nice seat. How about the tough horse of the day who ends up being the leader, I think?
Yeah. That horse of Kate's, it was real. I don't know what the word I'm looking for. Like it didn't want to let her in, Kate, in its space. It was real defensive about its head and it was real reluctant to kind of let down. And she had her work cut out for her. She did a nice job there, kind of came through there at the end.
What would you have done with a horse like you've trained horses like that, but you usually have more time. Would you take more time? We're not in a competition. You have a horse that's real hard headed like that and really was not, you're not in my space.
Mm-hmm.
And probably because that number seven horse that was out here beat the crap out of him on a regular basis. I don't know. But what would you have done in this situation? And then in general, kind of as a lesson, if you had him on the farm.
A horse like that, he was real bothered about just touching around the head and neck area. I just would have left it completely. Like I wouldn't have gone there. I would have done the whole reverse psychology thing. I would have worked on some other pieces and built some trust in a spot that I felt like I could build from instead of, I'm not picking on anybody, but I wouldn't go to the no spot to get a yes. If that makes any sense.
Like, because she put a bit in that horse's mouth right away. And we talked about that, kind of just get the horse to focus on something else.
Mm-hmm. That's all good. Yeah, yeah, you bet. The only difference is that, like I said, I would have went maybe to some feet or something else to and just not go to the hardest spot to try to build a relationship. I would have went to maybe try to find an easier avenue. And that's easy for me to say, cause I was up here and down there.
Yeah.
You know, there's definitely things I did last year that I look back and say, wow, I really missed that. So, I mean, that's easy to say sitting here, but
if you had that horse at home, would you take more time with it than another horse?
Well, he would require more time for sure to get past those spots. He would require more time, and it's just, I think of this competition as a means to an end. You know, we know in 3 days we got to go through the obstacles, and do I need to be able to pet him all over his face just really willingly to get through the obstacles? Not so much.
Right.
So I'm going to focus on the things that I need for the job. And that's where my focus would have been a little bit, in that area.
Do you think that's all the buck that horse has in him, or do you think there's more?
Which horse?
The buckskin.
The buckskin. I think there's probably going to be some more. Yeah. I think there's still some residue in there in the head and in the, you know, the bronchiness.
One of the things that surprised the audience, you could tell, was when they did the scoring last night, and this happens every year,
right?
And the person that you think is going to be in last place is in first place.
Mm-hmm.
Do you understand the scoring? Can you explain it a little bit?
Well, it's hard to say. We've got a new two or three new judges this year, and so you never know. It's such a everybody looks at things different, and so until we kind of get a little baseline of what they're kind of wanting to see, it's hard to say. What I figure is Kate had the toughest horse, and they rewarded her a lot for having the toughest horse, and at the end of the day she got a lot done. So maybe that's where that come from. I think Rochelle, that little mess up, little bobble that
she dropped her reins and got wrapped around the horse's legs.
Yeah, that little bobble probably cost her winning the round. Same with Vicky, where she kind of had that little bobble where she kind of slid off there pretty quick and abrupt. That probably could have potentially cost her the round. And then Sarah's horse was a little bit more active, and she kind of had to be a little bit active herself to stay in position. That might have cost her the round. It's hard to say. It's really hard to say.
Well, how have you been doing over the last year?
I'm good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Doing the circuit?
Just showing horses and doing a few clinics and enjoying my family.
Cool. Very good. Well, it's good to see you back here, and we appreciate you stopping by.
You bet. Thanks for having me.
Where do people find out about Nick?
NickDowers.com.
NickDowers.com. You know, most of the time we ask clinicians that, they have no idea what their own website is. So good job.
Yeah.
Thanks, Nick.
It's an easy one to remember. Yeah. Thanks.
Yeah, you bet.
Well, we're going to take a break for a commercial, and we're going to come back. We have more to talk about here at Road to the Horse. There were some other things going on yesterday as well, but we have to hear first from our good friends at horselovers.com.
Be sure to visit horselovers.com all spring long for everything you need to get ready to ride this spring. Horselovers.com's got show tack, working tack, training aids, and the latest in safety gear and show apparel, whether you ride English or Western. Use code HRN at checkout and you can receive 10% off your order. That's right, use coupon code HRN at checkout and get 10% off your entire order. This coupon code expires April 30th, so get on over to horselovers.com today and use coupon code HRN at checkout to receive 10% off your order. Horselovers.com.
Well, we're back here at Road to the Horse, brought to you by Horseware. And I am with Tara Carter, and we are here on the second day of competition right now. Rochelle Valentine still in the ring, still doing her thing out there, still running around in circles.
Hey, I have a question for Tara if we have a second.
Yep.
This is a quiz for Tara. At this point in their training, if you didn't know anything about the horses, and yesterday you were out shopping for horses and you watched each of those three horses do what they did for 15 minutes, as if it was, okay, I'm going to go look at this young horse for sale.
Mm-hmm.
Which one of them would you take home?
I'd probably take the gray, and then I'd take Vicky's.
So you take the gray horse from Rochelle's?
I like the gray. If I'm thinking beginner horse, kind of amateur level horse, I'd go gray, and then I'd go and then I'd go Vicky's. And probably like kind of all around horse, could do, you know, could be a gentle horse, but could also have some kind of cool performance stuff, I'd take Vicky's.
Yeah.
That's got what it. I think.
Yeah. Well, we have Linda Gettick, one of our terrific auditors and listeners, back with us today. She was on yesterday. She helps us guest wrangle, and she was at the party with us last night, which was fun. Hi, Linda.
Hi, guys.
So now, before we go on to talking about the other things that are happening here, we have a drill team competition that we saw yesterday. We have some demonstrations we saw yesterday, as well as we have Brian White with the Border Collies, which were fun to watch. He's going to join us here in a little bit. We have to pick our favorites. We have to pick the ones, our favorites, after day one. So, and these are the ones that you think could win this thing, all right? So, and we all know the scoring after day one really doesn't matter a whole lot. I mean, it's going to change today and really change tomorrow. So, all four of us, let's start with Linda.
the least experienced person here.
Yeah, but you've seen this several times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think Vicky could win. I think we could be... We could all be surprised by the
Providing
girl from
New Zealand.
Providing
she's healthy, we'll throw that caveat
that
in.
That girl has grit.
She walked on the wing of an airplane. I mean,
she's not going to let a dislocated shoulder stop her from winning this thing.
Yeah.
I was super impressed with her yesterday.
I'm pretty sure she could ride no-handed.
Yeah.
And yeah, exactly.
Just tape her arm down.
Yeah.
I don't know if you described how she worked yesterday with her horse, that she got up. She was the first one up. With no saddle.
Yep.
Several times. I mean, she was just like pushing herself up onto the horse and spending a few moments there and getting back down. She
this
must have done
that
30
jumps
times.
Without a saddle, 6 foot jumps. So, I mean.
Right. You know. She was obviously very comfortable with
she's good. It has a good seat.
The back of a horse. So,
Tara, your turn.
Well, I agree with Linda. I know I'm going to pick somebody different just because, but I do agree with Linda that I think if Vicky's got the physical ability to continue on, I think she's got the right horse, she's got the right focus, she's got the right, you know, tenacity to and ability, of course. So but I'm gonna stick with Sarah, and I'd really like to vote for some others, but I think it's gonna be really tough, or it's gonna be really wow. And it kind of makes me think back to Guy McLean's deal. Everyone was like, oh, and then he just horse gave him everything. So I'm kind of hoping for that.
Well, Tara, they all make me feel completely inadequate.
Yeah,
they're all just outstanding.
I know, it feels wrong. Like I even have the ability to say, "Oh, this one is going to be the winner." Because they'd all whoop up on me if I was there. So yeah.
And like Nick was just saying, that they're not, they're not as strong as the guys are. They can't sort of bully their way through to their goal. I mean, there are probably like 325 pounds of women out there across four corrals, and they're amazing.
Yeah.
They're amazing.
They are.
We'll go to Jennifer next.
Oh gosh. gosh, I'm torn. Who's gonna win?
Who's your favorite at this point?
Well, my favorite at this point. Golly, see, my favorite horse is Rochelle's. My favorite competitor is Vicky.
Yeah.
So I'm torn.
I kind of feel the same way, actually.
I can't hear her, Glenwood.
Yeah, she said she picked Vicky and Rochelle, basically.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And Vicky did the English world proud.
Yeah, she did. She did make the English world proud.
I think she did both worlds proud.
Well, that's true.
Yeah. Good point.
She did the horse world proud.
Yeah. Exactly.
Now, I'm an English rider at heart. So, you know, Vicky's kind of emotionally, but if I had to put my money down, if I had to put my $100, by the way, there was a pool going on here in the media room, and they were all putting in $100 each, and they didn't ask us.
They make better money in the TV biz.
Wow. Yeah, that's right.
They knew you weren't good for it.
We're going to put a quarter in, thank you very much.
I would have to go with Rochelle, who's out here in the ring in front of us right now. I just kind of like Rochelle. I've always liked Rochelle, and I think she has the best seat of anybody, and she just showed a lot yesterday. And I like Sean Patrick, who she works with a lot too. So I think that's partial to both of them.
I like what Nick said, like there's no quit in that girl. So
yeah, no.
You're gonna
and
see
Rochelle,
her.
When you see her do interviews, she is right there, and she's bubbly and fun and just having a good time doing this too. So that makes a world of difference, I think, as well. Now, there were some competitions going on yesterday too. We saw we saw two more of the drill teams come out and do their round two. We had one of them on yesterday, Primetime Express was here yesterday. The girls were so fun and bubbly. And they did terrific yesterday. They did some moves I have never seen before in the drill team. It was very cool. Did you get to watch them?
Yeah. And they had it was so fun to watch the patterns going on with their costumes. I mean, like, they really had a kind of a whole package of entertainment out there. And the music was fantastic.
It was very professional, I thought.
It was very professional.
Yeah, and again, they did some moves that I hadn't seen before that you were sure were going to cause collisions.
Yeah.
And then last night at dinner, we had a conversation about the Fjords who were out there. They came out and showed yesterday. And first of all, Fjords are so cute. And they're out there, and they're cute little draft horses, basically. And they're out there and their little legs going. There was one, that poor girl. She was that girl yesterday. She was the Jamie of the world. And she just, her horse was not cooperating and not interested. And it was kind of, I felt really bad for her. I really did. But it was so cute to
but
see.
But you kept laughing.
It was really cute to see the Fjords going around. Although they were not as precision as the Primetime Express.
Well, they deserve a prize for just doing the whole thing on Fjords.
That's true.
Thing about the other horses, I mean, the other drill team, is they can go fast. And so, like, you don't have as much time to see them be offline or off whatever. And the Fjords, it's like they're trotting and you can see the 12 steps they took in the wrong direction.
Yeah.
So it's...
That's a good point.
It's slower for your eye, so you can see some of the less precision moments a lot more easily.
That's a really good point, actually. Yeah. That's a really good point. And then today, I guess the other two come out. The other thing we did see a demonstration of, and why don't you go get him? Is he out there? If Brian's here, we'll bring him in. We saw a demonstration, and we had him on the show a couple of weeks ago. We had Brian White, who does border collies, and he has sheep here, and he had some obstacles set up in the arena, and he was doing his border collie demonstration, and it was a whole lot of fun to watch. And here's Brian now. Hi, Brian.
Hello, everybody.
Good to have you back on the show, and we got to watch you play. We had you on a couple of weeks ago. We were talking about what you do, and I got to see it yesterday. First of all, give the border collies, what were their names?
The ones I ran yesterday were Rio and Scoop.
Rio and Scoop, and they're so cute. And we talked about this at dinner last night because it came up. Border collies love their job more than any other animal in the world, including horses. They just love it.
That's true. Very true. You could see it. Like, when I would walk off, they wouldn't want to go.
No, they were. Their job wasn't done. We'd only been out here 10 minutes. I got another 12 hours to go.
Yeah, I've not even got a froth on yet. Come on.
Yeah.
Yeah, their tongues are dragging the ground, and they're like, can we do it again? Can we keep going?
Yes, they're incredible.
Now, because it is the year of the ladies, you had the sheep all painted pink. And we kind of were thinking that they were very embarrassed about that.
I didn't have anything to do with that. They're my friend's sheep. I got to take them back.
You got to take them back pink?
Yes. I don't know, and this guy's 6'6" and he looks like Abe Lincoln.
Maybe you need to talk to Espana Silk up there.
Yes. You need some.
Well, I don't know what we're going to do.
There's going to be some very interesting wool sent to the wool people. But it was interesting to see them work. And you use whistle. Now, is it an actual whistle or are you whistling with your lips whistling?
I use a mechanical whistle, and a couple of my dogs, I use my fingers.
I could not whistle that long. And we were trying to tell the difference between your whistles, like what's left, what's right, what's forward, what's back, and they all sounded the same to me.
Well, like the whistles, there's for each flank there's a whistle, and I use my first couple dogs, I used one whistle, one syllable whistle. With my newer dogs, I'm using two syllables so that I can get a half flank and a full flank. So I'm getting
like
a little
Morse
more
code.
Tricky.
Morse code for your dogs.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it means go halfway on that flank, not all the way on the flank. And then there's a walk up, lie down. There's a steady. When I want them to apply pressure at a certain point, I blow a steady whistle. And then there's a turn back whistle to leave the sheepy you have and go get some more. And that's pretty much it. And then I have little, you know, just a little growl sometimes means, you need to back up. Yeah. So.
So when you say flank, like I immediately go flank steak or the flank of a horse. Right. Do you mean flank as in
more of a military maneuver?
I mean flank meaning go right, go left.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Like they do in the military, you're going to flank the opponent.
Yeah. Yeah. Basically.
Yeah. Yeah. Interesting. Are there border collies that favor, obviously there's some, are there some that just don't want to do that work?
Yeah, you'll get some that are really soft and won't take any correction. They may be afraid of the sheep. I wouldn't be keeping that dog.
Yeah.
But doesn't mean they'll not be a good dog pet for someone. Or agility or something like that, you know, but just give them a job. Don't put them in a backyard. Don't buy one and put one in the backyard because it's not fair.
Now, all right, Tara, were you the one telling us about the new horseback, the horseback sheep with, they were on horseback with the dog and the sheep?
We watched it. We were at World's Greatest Horseman in Fort Worth and we watched a demonstration. I don't know the name of the association, but you have to work your dogs through a set of gates, but you have to be horseback. So I thought that was pretty neat.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, that I'm not a horseman. We just got our first horses. So that may be something in the future. But I do the big field trials where the sheep are set 800 yards away. And, you know, it's a more finesse thing, you know.
Yeah, we've watched them and that can go wrong real quick. The sheep can be gone in a minute.
Yeah. The sheep that were here were very tame. The sheep that I run on in trials are Western range ewes and they're preyed upon by wolves and stuff and they're 200 pounds and you got to have a dog because they'll read a dog real quick. If it doesn't have intent, they'll just put their head down and start eating.
Yeah. I always wondered about that. You know, we were talking about that yesterday, how amazing it is that these large animals, the horses will do anything we say for them to do. And I was looking at the sheep and the dog. I was going, that sheep could just run over that dog. And it wouldn't have any problem at all. But it's very cool to watch them work.
Yeah, no, a lot of this, that's what inspired me to come and talk to Tootie last year when I came as a spectator. I was inspired because a lot of it's similar to starting a horse and working a dog. And starting a dog, it's all pressure and release and being in the right place and not being lazy. You know, I talked about that the other day. Don't be a lazy trainer because you'll have a lazy dog. A lazy dog meaning he won't stop when you ask him to. He won't flank when you ask him to. So I'm learning a whole new thing having the horses. And one of my mentors told me when I got the horses, I was talking to him about it. And he goes, it's going to make you a better dog handler because you're going to learn to be. I used to go, I call it going to the ATM, ask, tell, make. Well, I used to go just to tell and make. Now I'm learning to start with ask. And I'm finding out, a whole different. I mean, I lay awake at night thinking about how to train my dog better.
So kind of like lightness. Like that's how we have to ask, tell, make for lightness. And so maybe you're looking at more lightness with your dog?
Yeah, and wanting them to do it, not making them do it. Yeah. You know, the old school, you do it or else. I mean, I could do it. But I don't find joy in that. I want to run a dog that wants to crawl in a foxhole with me and fight.
Yeah. What's your website? Do you have one?
No, my wife has a Rusty Juniper, her studio. I'm just on Facebook as Brian White, Bend, Oregon. We're going to set something up. Honest Dog Ranch is the name of our ranch in Bend, Oregon. And I'm going to set something up where I'm going to start kind of journaling my journey. Like out here the other day, I claimed that I won a national title, and I did it on purpose so that I have to be accountable.
Ah, there you go.
So I would love to keep coming back and sharing the journey.
Well, now thousands of people will hold you accountable too.
Yes, so. That's why I did it. For a second, I go, should I do this? But I go, you know, I like to be under fire. I always have playing baseball, surfing. I grew up surfing, so. The other day I was standing out there going, how did I get here?
It's a little different right? than the 20 foot
so
ways.
I've had a blast. My dogs have had a blast. I'm loving every minute of this and I hope to come back. And like I said, that puppy I started out here, I was starting Dude is maybe we can bring him back next year and see how much I've done with him. It'd be cool.
Thank you, Brian. Yep. Appreciate it. Take care.
Thank you.
Give the puppies a pat for us.
Yeah. Yeah, I really enjoyed the demo with starting the dog. That was really great to see kind of the beginning.
Well, we are going to take a break here and come back and kind of give you an overview of what's going to happen the rest of the day and what we're going to be talking to you about tomorrow. Looking for sugar-free horse treats that your horse will love? Then Enjoy Yums are the answer. Made with only 6 ingredients, including rice bran for your natural omega-3s and 6s, and sweetened with only fruits and vegetables. Baked in the USA and personally approved by Scooter, the most famous pony in the world. Developed by a veterinarian with your horse's health and well-being in mind. They come in a convenient heart shape so they can be easily broken and are easily digestible. Available at select retailers across the USA and Canada. Also available online. Look for Equine Enjoy Yums at your store today. All right, we are back here at Road to the Horse at the Kentucky Horse Park in Lexington, Kentucky. And today, so the events that happened today, and there is a live feed, a video feed that you can go to roadtothehorse.com and sign up for. We have a coupon code HRNET, I believe, right,
yes,
Jennifer?
Yes, that's right.
HRNET, yep. Will get you a little bit off if you want to sign up for that and watch today. The competition, has it gone now? Rochelle Valentine's still out doing a demonstration. And then we have Sarah Dawson's going to do a clinic this afternoon. We have more. We have Sarah Dawson, Kate Newbert, Rochelle Valentine, and Vicki Wilson doing a presentation together. I didn't know about that one.
I think that's when they're presenting them on the stage.
Oh,
like,
okay.
You know, kind of the...
Got it. Yeah, after the opening ceremonies. Yeah. By the way, the opening ceremonies were interesting yesterday, too, because they had all the drill teams out, and they had the flag guys come running out on the horses, but they had sparklers on the tops of their flags, and let me just say, some of the drill team horses did not like that.
Yeah, they were not ready for that.
Jan Janes is doing a presentation this afternoon. Of course, he's always a popular one. Drill teams will be this afternoon. Then at 3:20 to 5:05. We have round two of the competition. So, Jennifer, 3:20 to 5:05 is when you want to be glued to your computer.
Okay, the horses are getting fed early today. Got it.
That's right. So another hour and 45 minutes today with the horses, and then we'll be back tomorrow morning at 11:30. They'll have set up the obstacle course, which always has surprises. Tootie never tells what's going to be in the obstacle course. I remember the one year one of my favorite things was they actually had an outhouse. They had to go up to the obstacle course. So these horses had only been trained for 3 hours. Go up to the outhouse, drop the reins so the horse would just stand there. Go in the outhouse, sing the Star Spangled Banner, come out, and the horse was theoretically supposed to still be there. But in a couple of cases, that didn't happen real well.
It's pretty so. We have to get that
Trevor,
ready. There's a certain
Trevor
person we have a recording of that. Yeah.
Trevor had heard about a trainer's challenge in Utah, where you had to go in the outhouse and then you had to pull the handle, like the outhouse handle, and then the outhouse fell apart. So it would kind of startle your horse. So when he saw
that would startle trained horses.
And he saw the Wile E. Coyote thing. He's like, the outhouse is going to explode. So he was like terrified to go in the outhouse and sing the Star Spangled Banner that
he
year.
He sang pretty well, though.
Yeah. Yeah.
I probably have a recording of it,
yeah,
actually,
probably.
Somewhere.
Yeah, great.
All right, everybody, thank you so much. We'll see you for 4 hours of coverage. We're hoping to have Chris Cox joining us in the first hour. We have a couple other special guests that are going to be joining us throughout the day, and we look forward to having you along in our coverage here at Road to the Horse, the Kentucky Horse Park in Lexington, Kentucky. Tara, your website, people can find you at Carter with a C, carterranchhorse.com. The best way to listen to our show is on our app, iOS or Android. Just search for Horse Radio Network. Download it. It's free and easy to use. We downloaded it for some people yesterday. And then all of our past episodes here at Horses in the Morning are on our website at horsesinthemorning.com. All of the shows on the Horse Radio Network. We have 13 of them, a brand new show done by the Pollock Report about racing called Around the Track. I passed Old Friends Retirement Center yesterday, which has a couple hundred retired racehorses there on the way to dinner. It was so cool to see it. That's it for today. Thank you, everybody. Thank you, Jennifer. And we'll see y'all tomorrow.